So what is your favorite thing about Christmas? Yeah, Lucas? Huh? Yeah, gifts? That's one thing we're going to talk based on today. It's gifts. Anything else anyone wants to share? Yeah?
Stockings.
Huh? Stockings. Yeah, people put up stockings during Christmas. That's a great one. Thank you. Yeah?
Tree.
Christmas tree? Yeah? We do have a Christmas tree here. Thanks. Yeah. Anything else? Great. Thanks. Yeah, there are so many great things about Christmas. And I believe, yeah, the giving gifts is a great tradition during Christmas. Partly I think that is because in the Bible we see that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the greatest gift or the indescribable gift that God gave us. And Jesus came to earth on the first Christmas season. And that's why I think giving gifts during Christmas is a great tradition, because it helps us to understand the Christian part of Christmas. So normally when someone has a gift for us, we will be excited to look for it, isn't it? I heard from one of the church members that yesterday night, one of their cousins was awake from 4 o'clock. Today morning from 4 o'clock, they were so excited because they were looking forward to get the gift that they would find under the Christmas tree. And in today's Bible story, we are going to look at two characters who heard about God's greatest gift, Jesus, and how they chose to respond when they learned they have a gift from God. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at two characters and how did they respond to God's greatest gift who came on earth. So firstly, we're going to look at Herod. So if you look down at, we are looking at Matthew chapter 2, which is page 966 in our church Bibles. Firstly, we are looking at King Herod. So if you look at verse 1, it says, Herod was a king who ruled over a place called Judea. So let me read verse 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So yeah, here we have the Magi or the wise men. They come from a place which is from the east, it's mentioned here. But they come to a place called Judea, and you have a king called Herod who rules over the place Judea. And Judea is a home of God's people. So Herod had a very good understanding of the teachings of the Bible. So in verse 2, if you see the Magi who came from the east, they say they are looking for a king of the Jews. But if you look down at verse 4, you can see that Herod is asking the question, verse 4, when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, that means the teachers of the Bible, and he asked them, "Where is the Messiah who is born?" So the Magi are asking the question, "Where is the king of the Jews?" But how did the King Herod respond? He's asking the question, "Where is the Messiah?" Even if you're a Christian and know the Bible, it's difficult to follow, isn't it? What is the connection between the King of the Jews and the Messiah? But Herod has worked it out for himself. He must have really known the Bible. Did you hear the difference? That the King of the Jews is the same as the Messiah. In the Bible, Messiah is someone who will be the final king over God's people. He will rule over people from all nations, not only Jewish people, but people from all nations, tongues, and tribe. And he will be ruling forever. And that's the person King Herod was thinking about when the Magi was talking about the king of the Jews. He was well known of his Bible. Well, partly it's because he was surrounded by Bible advisors. When he wanted to know about the Messiah, he called on all the chief priests, like we looked at verse 4, and also all the teachers of the Bible. He had every single Bible scholar in Jerusalem to help him. Herod, along with the help of the Bible teachers, found out that God's final king, Messiah or Christ, will be born in Bethlehem. So we can see that in verse 5 and 6, if you have your Bible. Let me read 5 and 6. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written." So the Bible teachers are telling Herod, they're teaching him from the Bible, you can know that the prophet has written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." So Herod learns Christ will be born in Bethlehem. So how do you expect Herod to respond now? Anyone have any thoughts? Huh?
Envious.
Someone who knows the Bible a lot. Someone who is with God's people, who has a lot of Bible teachers around him. Huh? Ah, okay. Yeah, we'll come to that. But I think, yeah, he is someone who is the king over God's people. And the God's promised king has finally arrived. We might think he might be the first person to queue up to see God's king. Herod is a man we would expect to be Jesus' number one fan, like you would expect the Argentinian president to be the number one fan of Messi. It's the same with, that's what we expect with Christians as well, isn't it? Someone who is coming every Sunday to church during the week. The person even goes to a Christian school and he's learning a lot from the Bible during Christian church, during school assemblies. When he goes to Sunday school, he's asking a lot of questions to the Sunday school teacher. What do you expect of them? We think these people will be Jesus' number one fans. But here's a surprise in this story. Herod did not want to be Jesus' number one fan. In this story, in verse 13, it says Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Why? And that's what Betty mentioned. Herod doesn't want God's king over his life. He wanted to be the king of his own country. He wanted to be a king over his own life. We can all understand this, isn't it? The Bible teaches us, this is what the Bible calls a sin. Sin we can define with those three letters. S for show of God. I for I want to be in charge over my life. I don't want God to be over, rule over my life. So in this Bible passage we learn, it is very possible for someone who comes regularly to church and knows the Bible, but never wants to have anything to do with God's gift. They don't want to receive Jesus as their king and offer their lives to live for him. Then we have another character in the Bible. We look at the Magi, who's the second character from this Bible. So Magi are also known as the wise men or the three kings in some of the Christmas songs. Of course, in the Bible, we don't find three people. We only find that there are three gifts. And the word magi is where we get the English word magician from. Because they are strange men who seem to do strange things. They constantly look at the stars and they want to predict the future. They are not like God's people who read the Bible to hear God's word and to know what God is going to do in the future. These people are not like that. They come from a very far east country. So they are like a bit like the aliens. They are far off from God's people and from God's word. But they have a keen interest to know who is God's king. And they are just following the stars because they understand there is a special king who is going to be born. So these people are not anything like the Jewish people. They are not like Herod, who are surrounded by Bible teachers. They are people like the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, who are born in a very non-Christian country. You might surely think the Magi would be the people who would never be Jesus' number one fan. But what happened? They were willing to travel from far off for many months. Those times they didn't have an aeroplane or ship. They came through on a camel, traveling probably for miles. And how did they respond to God's gift? If you look down at verse 9, it says, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So firstly, they were overjoyed. It means that they were very, very happy. Just like you would have been today morning, some of the kids would have been. When you came looking for your Christmas gift and you found it under the Christmas tree, you might have been super excited that you have found the gift. And what's the gift that Magi were super excited about? So the gift was Jesus Christ. And in this passage, we see three things about Jesus Christ, which we can have a look. Firstly, in verse 2, it says, he's the king of the Jews. So he was the king over God's people. He's the one who has created all the world, but he also has a group of people that he could call himself as his own. He's the king over God's people. But it's also mentioned in verse 4 that he is Christ, the Messiah. So he's someone who is going to be king over all nations, and his kingdom is going to last forever. He's going to be a special king. He's going to be the final king who will rule over all people. But also it says that he is a shepherd. So let me put an image of the shepherd. So he's a shepherd who has a flock. So he came to care. What does it mean is the shepherds take care of the sheep. Here we have Jesus, who is mentioned as a shepherd who came to care like a good shepherd. He will be there for all his people, and he will take care of them in this world. That is why Jesus came, and when he was an adult, he even chose to die. He died to protect the people who put their trust in him, so that all of them will be safe for eternity. So the gift God offered during the first Christmas was Jesus, a powerful, everlasting king, but he's also a loving king, like a shepherd. And what did the Magi do when they met Jesus? You can read it in verse 11. On coming to his house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. So, it's not something we do when we look at ordinary babies. We say, oh, such a cute baby. That's not what they did. The first thing is they bow down. It's a way of showing respect to someone who is powerful, who is going to be a future king. They understood that. They showed their respect. But also they came with three gifts. You can read that. They opened their treasures. Verse 11 again. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So these are very expensive, rare and precious gifts. They gave this gift in the ancient day for kings. It's a way to show honor for someone special. We do that even in modern days, isn't it? When during tea and coffee, we use cups to drink tea and coffee, but next Christmas, if we learn that the King of England, King Charles, is going to come to Dagenham Parish, we're going to buy some new special cups in order to show respect to the King. And we do a few other things in the church. Maybe we buy new chairs. I don't know what we're going to do, but we will show respect in some way because he is someone special in this country. That's what the Magi did. These Magi were not God's people. They were like aliens and strangers to God's people. But when they learned about Jesus, they came looking for him and they wanted to show respect and have a relationship with him. And that's what the Bible in this passage urges us to do, to be more like a Magi rather than a Herod. So the next time when you open a gift, children, think about Jesus and this Christmas story. Think about whether you would like to have a gift from God himself. God's gift is just not for some special people like the Jews. God's gift is available for people from all nations, tongues and tribes. All you need to do is look into the Bible to know more about Jesus and receive him as an everlasting king over your life. If you haven't known about Jesus before, there is a course, The King and I, which will run for a few weeks. You have these flyers in your table, and you are all very welcome to join in one of those weeks to learn more about this king. And for kids, yeah, my hope and prayer is that when you go to Sunday school and you learn about Jesus, keep thinking who he really is so that you could be more like Magi, receiving Jesus for who he really is and receiving God's gift through him. And if you have already received God's gift and you are a Christian, I pray that you would be thankful for the God's indescribable gift in your life. Let me pray as we close. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Father God, we thank you for the gift you gave us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you are concerned about our lives. Thank you that you gave a loving, a powerful, and an everlasting King over our lives. We pray that you would be all willing to receive this gift that came from you on Christmas Day. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.